Welcome to the C3SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website, c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
And it's Super Zoom Sunday, everybody. It's Super Zoom Sunday, and it is such a pleasure to see you all. We got a million pages here. We got everybody on. And so wherever you're at, whether you're in the kitchen, whether you're in the bedroom, at home, outdoors, you all look amazing. And so to all our locations, can everybody give me a wave? Give me a wave. Come on, everybody. Every location right across Sydney. This is amazing. And it's quite cool. I mean, we normally are in a building, but it's quite cool that we can be in your home, that we can bring the presence of God, we can worship, we can have church at home. And this is an exciting time. So, hey, I want to right now really quickly welcome again all our guests. Pastor Phil and Chris, we love guests, don't we? And so we want to just welcome all our guests. If you're here for your first, second, third time, like our Next Step director, Alex, was saying, we are so glad you're here. And as a church, I mean, we don't feel like we can do everything. We don't feel like we know everything about everything, but we do know that we can help you with three things: to know Jesus, to have a real relationship with Him. He is the center. He is not a way. He is the way. He is not a truth. He is the truth. He is not a life. Come on, somebody in the chat. He is the life. And so we are passionate about helping you know Jesus, find community. And as Connect Groups, we are really on a mission to help you grow in God and gather with people. Now, we have a cares team. And at the moment in lockdown, we're doing a lot to provide meals and do what we can. But I got to tell you, church, we only have so many resources that we can centralize. What I would love to encourage you to do is let's be the church through our Connect Groups. So let's pray together. Let's ask the Holy Spirit, who in our street, who do you know? Let's pray as a Connect Group and let's really be the hands and feet of Jesus in this time. Just one little small act, you have no idea how big of a difference it can make. And so we want to encourage you as Connect Groups, let's get out there. Let's not get stuck. Obviously within restrictions, obeying all the ramifications, obeying the boundaries, but let's be a light in and through our Connect Groups at this time. So we'd love to help you join a group as well. And also we want to help you discover the purpose of God. God has a plan for your life. Knowing why you're here is one of the greatest things that could ever happen in your life. And we as a church, we feel like God has called us to help, to serve. And that's the thing. We're not here to try and get something from you, get something from Sydney. We are here to serve Sydney. And that's our mandate as a church. So again, if you are here first, second, third time, massive, massive welcome. Now, church, you might know this, but, well, you may not, you might, but we, Jessen and I, we are new parents. So pray for us. Pray for us. But we are so excited. We have a baby boy, Oakland, and we thought it'd be lovely to have a little chat, just say hi. So I'm gonna find my babes. Hey babe, are you there? Are you there?
Hello everybody. Hello. So good to see you all. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
You look gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. We wanted to bring Oaks on to say hi. Here he is. He's about to crack it. He's starving. And he eats like his dad, so pray for us. But he wanted to say a big hello, and he's happy to be in church online. And we all also wanted to say that just during this lockdown, we're really thinking of everybody, and we're praying for you if you're having a hard time. And yeah, it's so good to see everyone. And Oaks is eating well and sleeping well and he's happy.
It's awesome, babe. How many poos has he done this morning?
I've saved them all up for you. You can change them when you get home.
Oh, that's very generous. You're so kind. I love you. I love you. Thanks, babe. Say goodbye, everybody. Wave to Jess and Oaks, love you so much. So we're going to be talking, like we said, but I want to give you a date. Okay, everybody, you need to put this in your calendar. If you've got a calendar, If you're still using a paper calendar, God bless you. Get out the pen, write this in. If you're using a digital device, whatever you are using, we have a very important calendar date, okay? So don't miss this. On November 14th, we are going to be gathering together for a very special moment. Now, like Pastor Phil and Chris said, it is a transition year. So from that date, on that date, we are going to be honouring, celebrating, thanking, and blessing Pastor Phil and Pastor Chris. What that's going to look like is we're actually going to get everybody together. We're going to go to the OG, the Oxford Falls location. We're going to get everybody in the room in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we'll do whatever it takes. But here's the deal. We're going to get buses. We'll book helicopters if we have to. I will carry you on my back if it must be. We are getting everybody from every location all across Sydney. We're going to gather together under one roof to really honour, give honour where it is due, thank, celebrate and bless Pastor Phil and Pastor Chris. So come on, can you give it up for Pastor Phil and Pastor Chris one more time? Put your hands together. Our senior pastors, we love you so much and we can't wait to celebrate you. Okay. Are you ready for Romans? Who likes Romans? Have you read Romans? If you haven't read Romans, don't worry. We're going through a five-week campaign, 5 weeks, and we're going to be working through the book of Romans. Now, if you've read Romans at all, Romans is huge. Oh my gosh. It is one of the biggest, weightiest, most amazing books in the Bible. It has got so much doctrine, so much truth, so much theology that will change your life. And so we are wanting to dive into it. However, if we were going to do a campaign on the whole book of Romans, we wouldn't need 5 weeks. Come on, somebody, we would need 52 weeks to get through it all. So we want to encourage you. We're going to be focusing in on chapter 8, a pivotal chapter. We're going to spend 5 weeks talking about chapter 8. And as we go through this, your next step might be to read Romans chapter 8. It might be to start studying Romans, the book of Romans. And in our connect groups, we would encourage you, join a connect group and let's grow together as we study the book of Romans. There's so much truth and the word of God is alive. So we want to get in amongst it. So one thing I've been doing is I've signed up for our college short course. So we have a 9 sessions short course with Katie Haldane. The link is in the chat. So if you would like to make use of that, you can. I'm going through it. It's 9 weeks. That might be your next step. It's going to give you a broader, deeper, bigger picture. If you're hungry for more, you could actually sign up and do that short course. It's going to bless you as you do that. And also, we're going to get into that through our connect groups and really studying it together. So, Romans. Here we've got a guy called Paul. Have you heard of Paul? You heard of Paul? Wave at me if you've heard of Paul, the Apostle Paul. He's amazing. This is the first letter, and it is a letter that Paul is writing in the New Testament. And he's writing it to the church in Rome. He has not visited this church. And Paul is about 20 years into his ministry. He's kind of on a pause. He's in Corinth. And he's writing this letter from Corinth to the Roman church. As he's writing this letter, he's actually planning. He's been based in Antioch, ministering from there as his base. He's about to go and move to Rome to now minister to Spain. So Paul's on the verge of taking the gospel into Spain. And it's a church he's never been to. He's never been there. And so he's writing this letter and it's kind of like his CV. He's kind of sharing his gospel. And you got to remember his gospel that he's writing. It is the gospel. But there is a lot of voices and a lot of confusion about the true message of the gospel. So Paul is clarifying and really reminding and showing what the gospel is all about. You got to remember, back then they didn't have Bibles, right? So it wasn't like they were reading along with Paul. They were hearing directly from Paul this gospel. And he is writing this letter into an environment that is very tense. Oh, it sounds like our world right now, right? Tense. A lot of polarizing views, a lot of angst. A lot of things happening, vaccinations, with lockdown, with where do we stand? There's a lot of things. And Paul is writing into a church that is very disunified. It is full of Jews and Romans. And so the Jews, they are the people who've been occupied by the Romans for so long. And so you're going to find that in that context, there's generational hatred. There's all sorts of things that the Jews would feel towards the Romans having been occupied by them. There'd be lots of tension. Not only that, there's leadership tension. There's been the Jews and now the Gentiles are leading the church and the Jews are coming back to be involved in the leadership. There's a lot of tension. And so we come into Romans chapter 8. And actually the beginning of Romans, Paul brings the gospel message. And who knows, the gospel is the great equalizer. The gospel, he brings the gospel message that it's not about Jew nor Gentile, it's about the work of Jesus Christ, that all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. But because of Jesus and putting our faith in him, we can be saved. We can be cleansed, we can be washed, we can be set free, not because of our merit, but because of the work of the cross. Come on, can you praise Jesus for the cross today? Come on in the chat, why don't you put your hands together? Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. And this is the message of the gospel. So Paul is bringing this into an environment that is divided and it's tense. We come to chapter 8 and Paul is talking about how we are no longer led by the flesh, we're led by the Spirit. He says it like this, the mindset on the flesh leads to destruction, but the mindset on the Spirit leads to life and peace. And so Paul is talking about the Spirit-empowered life. And when you set your mind on the flesh, you live according to the flesh. But when you set your mind on the Spirit, you live according to the Spirit. And Paul is breaking this down. Paul is talking about this and we move into it and we see this tension, the tension between my flesh and my spirit. Now, everybody, don't get all Christian on me. Everybody here struggles with the tension of flesh and spirit. There's great tension in the Christian experience. If you're here and your Christian life is perfect and there's no tension, you know, we don't like you because the rest of us are walking through this tension. And so there is tension in this Christian experience. Paul then goes on talking about how the earth groans for the children of God to be revealed. That as children of God, we are groaning for that glorification that one day is coming, that we are waiting in eager expectation. You do know this, Jesus is coming back, right? Jesus will come back. It's not a gag, it's not a trick. Jesus is returning. And on that great day, we will be glorified. We will be fully children of God. So Paul is pointing out that there's this tension. I am a child of God, but I'm becoming a child of God. I'm forgiven, but I'm outworking that forgiveness in my everyday life. I'm saved, but I'm working out salvation. Have you heard this? Justification, sanctification, glorification. We are justified by the work of the cross, just as if I'd never sinned when I put my faith in Jesus. One day to be glorified, to be united with him. But in the middle is where we all live. We all live in tension. We all live in this middle place, in process. And in a microwave world where we want things done quick and where everything is made to remove pain and remove any suffering, make everything really easy, we are faced with this tension called life. If you're living this life and you are looking to escape tension, in your marriage, hello, with your children, in your work, with your boss. If your pursuit is to escape tension, It'll be a pursuit for the rest of your life that will never happen. Life is full of tension. It's like Oakland, our baby boy. This kid is so conflicted. He is two things. He is starving hungry, and he is beside himself tired. And so he is hangry, but he also wants to sleep. And he has this battle within himself where he's trying to eat, but he's falling asleep. And then he gets frustrated that he's falling asleep because he wants to eat, but he just wants to eat, but he keeps falling asleep. And he's got this battle, like Paul said, I do what I don't want to do, and I'm trying to do what I want to do and what God wants. Tension. Church life is full of tension. We're not trying to escape tension. And in fact, God's not trying to avoid tension. I want you to see in Romans 8, verse 28. Turn there if you got your Bible. Come on, you got your Bible? Grab your Bible. Yeah, come on. It says this, Romans 8. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. He's talking about, in context, the Israelite people of God. He says, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, and those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, come on, church. If God is for us, who can be against us? This is the truth of the gospel. This is the reality of the kingdom. And we have been grafted in God's sovereignty, the people of Israel, and we've been grafted into God's purpose, the spreading of the gospel, that this message would continue. But while we're in this life, there's tension. So what do we do? What do we do with this current tension we're in lockdown, 4 more weeks, whatever it's going to look like? What do we do with business, with things we're facing? Paul said this, and we know that in all things, here's the thing, it doesn't say, and we feel that in all things, God is working together for good, because feelings, who knows? God, just because you're not feeling it doesn't mean God's not working. Amen. There's days where I don't feel like God is working, but that doesn't mean he isn't. We know that he is. It's a conviction. It's a belief. It's a statement of faith. And we know that in, write it down, in all things, not around all things. God's not going around it. God's in it. God's with us. He's the ever-present help in time of need. He's in it. Jesus didn't avoid the cross. Jesus didn't avoid death. Jesus didn't try and escape. Listen to me, church. Christianity is not escapism. We're not trying to escape the world. We're not trying to escape our surroundings. We are bringing God into the middle of them, into the middle of every challenge. God is working in all things. So, hey, take a minute. Think about all things. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. All things. Think about all the things that you think God is not in. Yeah, even that. Even that thing that you think is a closed door, a room that God is not in, an area that God is not aware of. We know that in all things, God is working together for the good. Okay, he's working it together. So catch this. He's working in it and with it. He's using all the ingredients. My mum, she's an amazing cook, and I've grown up with her cooking. And I am astounded Because there would be days where we would look in the cupboards, you know, end of a week, and there's nothing. There's nothing. There's a bit of flour, a bit of salt, a few oranges, maybe a strawberry, and somehow at dinner time, there's a meat pie, the Lord knows what's in it. There's a meat pie, there's a salad, there's this whole spread. And I have no idea how Mum, Jane Lee, the magician, was able to get these raw ingredients, these unlikely candidates, come on, these unlikely things that don't look like they're going to work together. They don't look like they're going to make something good. They don't look like they're going to taste very good. But she was able to get all these pieces to work together to make a meat pie. God is using all the raw ingredients in your life. In your weakness, He is strong. God is using the things that are working and the things that are not working. But He is still working them together for good. Amen? He is working them together for good. I mean, I wish it said, and we know that God removes all pain. He removes all suffering. He removes any challenges for our good. But it doesn't say that. It says in it and with it, God is working together. The circumstance, the failing, the regret, the frustration, the disappointment, the misunderstanding, the disillusionment, the languish, the loss, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God is working it all together for good. And you know how we know this? Lean in. Let me tell you. Yeah, lean in. You know how we know this? Yeah, Bill Treasfield, that's good. Lean in. You know how we know? We know because of the cross. Because even in death, God turned it together for good. And not just good, but He turned it together for the good news of salvation. He resurrected Jesus. Even in death, even when it looks like there's no hope, God can work it together for good. And this is what we need to know at this time. Here's what I want to challenge you with. Two things as I close. What is God through this situation? You could write this down. Let's not be trying to escape tension. Don't try and escape it. Let's ask and seek God in it. So here's the question. God, what are you wanting to change in me through my circumstance? God's more than your circumstance. There's hope beyond where you're at today, what you're facing. So what is God trying to do in you? Having a baby has changed me. Changed me. God will use external things to change an internal reality in your life. So ask Him, God, what do you want to change in me? I have a mantra. What's happening to me is not as important as what is happening in me. Pastor Phil has always said this, the problem is not the problem. Right? So annoying. The problem is not the problem. The problem is your response to the problem. So what is God wanting to change in me? David said it like this, Lord, search me, know my anxious thoughts. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous ways in me and lead me in the way everlasting. What is God doing in you? While you're locked down, while we're in this together, what does God want to do in you? Second thing I want to challenge you is, what is God's kingdom purpose through this situation? In your business, what is the kingdom purpose? Please, church, do not think that God's purpose only happens by being on staff at church. No. Being on staff at the church does not mean you're walking in the purpose of God. The church is here to empower you to go into your workplace, your family, your friends, your sporting circles, whatever it is, to go in there with the purpose of God. And so what is this circumstance you're facing? What is the kingdom purpose that God has and wants to do through it? Talk to Paul. Paul was shipwrecked and God used it for good, for a kingdom purpose, to reach people. Paul and Silas were in prison and they started singing in lockdown. And that's a great thing you can do in your home, is sing, praise. They started praising God, and God used where they were for a kingdom purpose to deliver people, to bring the gospel to the guards. Talk to Joseph. Have you heard of Joseph? Man, Joseph went through so much trial and tribulation. And he says this in Genesis 50, verse 20, what the enemy intended for evil, God used for good. Look at Jesus. There was kingdom purpose. And God's redemptive plan in the earth is through this framework that all things work together for good. Jesus is the King and is ruling the universe through the blueprint of the cross. And that blueprint is that in all things, God is working together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Wherever you're at, I want to talk to you about some next steps from here. Why don't you take a moment and let's ask God. Maybe your next step is to say that prayer. God, what do you want to change in me? God, what do you want to use through my circumstance? There's more than you know going on. There's more than you can even see that God wants to do. So let's ask Him, what is that? And maybe your next step is to read Romans 8, to work through Romans 8. We're going to encourage you, get a hold of that short course. Do something to study the book of Romans over this next 5 weeks. That might be your next step. Your next step might be to join a Connect group. Please do that. We have our winter sign up and it's launching from next weekend on. And so we're going to be relaunching all our groups. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, you know what, it's time to start a group. We're going to have groups on Zoom. So we want to encourage you, join a Connect group, get in community. Let's grow together.
Thanks for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect with us. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. We look forward to having you back soon.